grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, this All Saints' Day, is our Gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, particularly the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, blessed are you. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, maybe you remember elementary school or middle school, and halfway through the day, you would go out for recess. Now, back in the day, I remember we would go out for recess, and if the weather was good, we would play dodgeball, or we would play softball, and every day was always the same. The two best kids would be the team captains. And one would stand there, and one would stand here, and they take turns doing what? Choosing, picking sides, okay, picking the teams. And of course, they started with the best players, because everybody wants to win. But eventually, they would get down to the kids who weren't any good. And then they'd send us all out to the outfield, where we couldn't do any harm, because in elementary school, the ball doesn't usually get out that far. So we would be sent out into exile. Every day, being the last one picked, every day sent out to the outfield. I think there's some of us who are still scarred by that. Well, look at the gospel lesson for today. And as you look at Matthew chapter 5, you'll see something that looks very familiar. There's a big crowd standing there, and our Lord Jesus steps apart from the crowd and his select group, his disciples, come to him. And you might say to yourself, well, here we go again. Same old thing. But before you do that, you have to look closely at what the Lord is doing. You have to look closely at the team that the Lord is putting together. And if you look at the team that the Lord is putting together, who he's choosing, who he's selecting when he has his draft pick, if you look at that team, you're kind of left scratching your head. Because the Lord is doing what? Outfielders, thanks, Pat. He looks out in the outfield and he goes, shh. Everybody in. Bring it in. And all the outfielders come in, and he says to one, he says, you take shortstop. And you take second base. You take third base. You take first base. You be the pitcher. You be the catcher. And we look at that. We look at Matthew chapter 5, and we say, this is the Lord's team. This is the team that he chose. He had all the opportunities in the world to choose others, but this is what he chose. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, those whose lives are in such a state that they can't do anything but pray. People who know that if there aren't miracles, they aren't going to get by. People who have memorized the words of the old hymn, perhaps you know them. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. That's the Lord's team. Blessed, he said, are those who mourn. And by mourning, he doesn't mean so much losing loved ones. That is a hard thing, of course. He's talking about his people. People like Simeon. You know Simeon, who held the baby Jesus in his arm. We'll sing the song of Simeon at the end of church today. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He says, blessed are those who mourn. He's like, you're like Simeon, who is looking for the consolation of Israel. A child of God who asks, why does this evil world continue? Why doesn't the Lord's kingdom come? When is the seventh angel going to blow his trumpet like in the book of Revelation? And there are loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Until that time, blessed are they who mourn. But this is the Lord's team. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What you may not realize is those words are basically a quote of Psalm 37. The Lord is just quoting scripture like a good preacher does. And Psalm 37 says, refrain from anger, forsake wrath, don't fret. It tends only to evil. Yes, there are evildoers, but they will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. You'll look carefully at their place, and they won't be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. It's true, the wicked plots against the righteous. The wicked gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs. The Lord laughs at the wicked because he sees his day is coming. Blessed are the meek. You're like Abraham, who, while he lived in this life, all that he owned of the promised land was a little tiny field, a little cave in which to bury his dead. But one day, the Lord said, all of this land will be yours. All of this land will be given to your descendants. And so the book of Hebrews, by faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise. And he lived in a tent with Isaac and Jacob. But Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He knew what was ahead for him, not just an earthly territory, but the kingdom of God that has true foundations. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. But still, this is the Lord's team. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We are strange creatures. From our birth, we seem to be nothing but hungers. We hunger for food and for drink and for rest and for sleep and for purpose or for knowledge or for recognition or for achievement or for beauty or for enjoyment or for love or for friendship or for comfort. We hunger and thirst. But what is strange about all of these things, if you just stop to think about it for a moment, is this. All these hungers, but you can't satisfy them. You can satisfy them for a moment. You eat a fine meal and it's wonderful, but then what? Sooner or later, you're hungry again. Sooner or later, you're empty again. Sooner or later, you're thirsty again. Sooner or later, you're tired again. They don't ultimately satisfy. They don't fill you up. And yet the Lord says in the Beatitudes today, he says, here's something that will satisfy you, something that will fill you up, and it's going to do so permanently. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You hunger and thirst to be clean before God, to have your Savior Jesus, to know the shed blood of his cross that washes you. Because if you're clean with the Lord, then all of the treasury of God's promises hold true for you. Promises that last. Promises like, we know that all things do what? Work together for good, for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Promises like the book of Psalms, you won't be put to shame. Promises like, you need fear no evil. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Promises like 2 Corinthians, all the promises of God are yes. In other words, God always says yes to his children. Even when he's saying no, he's always saying yes to what's good for you. Always saying yes to what's your blessing. Always saying yes to your future. God's promises are all yes. And so in Jesus, we say amen to the glory of God. Amen. Like we teach our preschoolers, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. righteousness. Repeat it again in verse 10. Blessed are those who chase after righteousness, because of them is the kingdom of the heavens. And so Jesus said, you know, you drink earthly water, eat earthly food, you hunger again, you thirst again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never thirst again. It will be in him a spring welling up to eternal life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so you ask, is this the Lord's team? This is the people that he picked? This is the one that he wanted? Like the old hymn, we'll sing it later in newer words, but the old words I like better. It says, on earth their work was not thought wise. They are not the first draft picks. They're way at the end of the draft pick by man. On earth their work was not thought wise, but see them now in heaven's eyes. And so again, that's the Lord's team. There's a problem with that. Doesn't he want to win? How do you win with a team like that? And the answer to that question is, no, the Lord doesn't want to win. He does not want to win. That is a plain fact. He wants you to win. He wants his team to win. But for himself, he chose another path. Philippians chapter 2. Have this kind of thinking among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped onto, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. He was found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That was the path he went on. He took the outfield so that somebody else could take the infield, you and me. Therefore, God has bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's your win, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and inheriting the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so Jesus, over and over again, in Matthew chapter 5, repeats the same word. Because what else are you going to say for a child of God? He says, blessed are you. Each of those verses tells you how things look now, but then they tell you how they will be. And if you look at how they will be, the final verdict for a child of God is God always saying yes. It's always, blessed are you. Blessed are you. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.